Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm
yeah,
glad you explained
isn't that so,
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. It's when there's so much of crappin'. Watch what crappens. Oh, well, it's not right. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Hey everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and I'm joined by the ever lovely, ever muscular, ever thin, and ever partnered up, Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Almost all of those were lies, but thank you.
No, they're not. And you also have to be brag about being partnered up because we're talking about Housewives and that's all they care about. You have a man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You can exist now, Ben.
I know. I am so much better than everyone else now.
Yeah, you deserve to live now, Ben.
Like, I feel bad for single people now.
I know. Me too. Don't their hands get cramped? You can find me, Ronnie Karam, at Ronnie Karam on Twitter or on Instagram. You can also find TrashTalkTV.com on the internet. That's where lots of funny recaps are. There's about like 30, between 30 and 40 comedy writers at one time writing recaps. They're very funny. I'm also doing Big Brother in 2 minutes videos all summer long. They come out on Fridays. You can find those on my YouTube page at YouTube.com/TrashTalkTEEVEE. You can find Ben at his blog, bsideblog.com, or on all of the social media outlets at bsideblog. Those include Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Snapchat, Grindr, Scruff, etc., etc. Oh, well, not those because he's partnered up now.
Pinterest.
He put a pause on those accounts.
I have put a pause.
You do have a Pinterest?
I do. I mean, I don't. I really don't do it like. I don't do it to like get followers. That's one social network where I'm like, I don't care about followers or not. I do it just to keep track of articles that I want to remember. So if I come across a list of like top 10 late night restaurants in LA, I'll pin it. So that way when I'm like, what were those late night restaurants? I can go back to it. I'm not someone who just like goes and browses through Pinterest and is like, oh, there's a doily I like. Pin.
There's a positive saying I like, pinned by a mom in Milwaukee with 18 children and a smile on her face.
You know what I really hate? I hate positive sayings. I'm not even joking. I hate being on Instagram and someone puts up a saying instead of a picture. I'm like, it's a photo. It's a photo app. If I want to read your sayings, I'd go on to Twitter.
Hang on. What is it? Hang in there, Ben.
Well, I mean, like every, you know, here's the thing. And I've complained about this before. I'm slightly being tangential. I follow a lot of like personal trainers and stuff because they're attractive. But personal trainers also think that they're motivational speakers a lot of times. And so they fill half their feed with these stupid phrases like, don't just sit on a chair, sit on a bench press or something like that. And you're like, fuck you.
If you were smart, you wouldn't have to work out that much. Please just be quiet and flex your pecs.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So we have got a fun week this week. A lot of Housewives stuff. Sorry, I didn't watch Below Deck. Sorry, I'm already drawing a line and I haven't even seen it yet. So you guys come on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens or at whatcrappens on Twitter to tell us what you think about the first episode of Below Deck. Because I did not watch. Sorry. But I did watch The Real Housewives of Melbourne. Did you watch that?
I didn't have time. I know. There's only so much time in the weekend for me to watch all these shows.
Ben, what kind of man does that? I can't do their accent. But God,
Scottish.
I wish I could
their
accent.
I have to like, get like a running start to get into my Australian accent.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's like the Real Housewives of – no, I don't have it yet. Real Housewives of Melbourne.
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 Real Housewives of Melbourne.
My husband's
of course
in
she hates me. She of course she hates me. I'm gorgeous. I'm beautiful. I'm rich. I'm married to a rock star.
I'm a barrister. I don't have to listen to things from the wife of Silverchair.
Oh, that one talk like this. So no, I'm a barrister.
I love to be glamorous.
I'm a barrister.
I'm the best drag queen.
Okay, Ben. This Housewives has a psychic who's as insane as Alison Dubois. She's as insane and seaworthy as Alison Dubois.
Yeah.
There's a girl who's most likely fucking her stepson and is not even ashamed of it.
Which one is that? Because I saw the first episode.
That's the one who only talks about how much money she has. She's like, oh, look at all my money. Like, that's all she talks about.
Which one is Oh, is she the one who
They all talk about money, but this is all this bitch talks about. She's like, why would I use a toilet seat if I could just buy a new golden toilet every second of the day? Like,
is she the one who is married to the architect?
She is married to I don't know.
Or the plastic surgeon.
I don't even know their names yet. It's gonna take me a minute.
Yeah.
To get
Tell you what, I like the blonde one who lives in a hotel. You know which one? She looks like kind of like scary at first, but then.
Oh, the older one?
Yeah, I like her the most.
Oh, I like her too, yeah, because she's like 70 and she's like, I'm starting over. And I'm like, she's you are.
I don't even know how to take a shower. I have to go to the salon and I have to get my hair done there.
I get my hair done 20 times a week at the salon.
Go every day. Every day that I need to clean my hair, I just go to the salon.
Yeah, I like her. She's like, both my husbands didn't work out, so I'm trying over again. And she's like the most youthful out of all of them, and she's like 100. I like her, too.
Yeah, she's my favorite. The psychic is the one that I hate the most.
The psychic is awful and wonderful, because she's crazy. She's crazy. My favorite is the barrister. I like that she talks like this. She talks really low. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's not afraid of anybody.
Well, I deal in facts. That's what I do. I deal in facts.
Yeah, I really like
cards. Your deck of cards, and I know you're at the. And you know what? I'm gonna shuffle your deck of cards.
Yeah, that show's amazing. So whoever's not watching it, we will start talking about that. Damn it! If it's the end of me.
Yeah. Well, now that New York is wrapping up, we can now move.
Add some more shows in. That one's brilliant. But before we start talking about all of the Housewives, which is pretty much all we got this week, by the way, except for Game of Crowns, which might as well be Housewives, we need to talk about some gossip this week, because we have been skipping our gossip section, and there's just so much lovely, horrible things happening to Housewives this week that we need to talk about.
Oh, please, fill me in, because I'm actually a little
behind. Ramona finally left Mario. I don't know if we discussed
that. Oh, yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Which is fun. I can't wait to see that on the show. Atlanta adds new girls. Who cares? They're both gorgeous. Yeah, really? Two new girls.
Two? That's a big cast. Why do they have two new girls?
I know,
because
they didn't fire anybody else yet, right?
That's so strange.
They're both effing gorgeous, so Kenya is going to be freaking out all over the place, which I'm excited.
Oh, and I just looked on our Facebook page, facebook.com, watch what crappens. I just read a very sad piece of information, piece of gossip. That Josh Flagg just posted that Grandma Edith has passed away.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's sad. That's really sad, actually.
She was hot.
Yeah, she was hot. Back to hot Atlanta ladies.
What else? Danielle Staub contemplated suicide after Real Housewives of New Jersey. Look, I'm contemplating suicide still reading about Danielle Staub.
I know.
Jesus.
I contemplated suicide the moment Danielle Staub opened her legs at the pole dancing demo.
You know, that's like the worst thing about a celebrity dying, because this week, of course, Robin Williams died, which is so sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, Facebook, like, people on Facebook, I get it. Like, writing, like, Robin Williams died, that's sad. Okay, that's one thing. But writing an entire blog post about how you feel about how Robin, it's like, shut up. No one fucking cares, okay? Everyone's like, here's a blog post about how I feel about Robin. One time, I was watching Robin Williams when I was pregnant with my first child. I'm like, shut up. This is not about you, okay? And that's Danielle Staub. Like, the second he dies, she starts calling around anybody who will answer the phone and going, I contemplated suicide once. Like, shut up. You know what? Robin Williams wasn't horrible on a reality show and then went to strip while his children are still alive, you dumb whore. It's not the same thing.
She's like, call a suicide hotline. Please.
Yeah, believe.
That was not a joke at Robin Williams' expense. That was just a joke at Danielle's expense.
And only on this show could the Robin Williams suicide turn so quickly to what a whore Danielle Staub is. Just shut up over there, Danielle Staub.
Yeah.
Get in a car with Jill.
I will say, I miss Danielle Staub. As much as we're bashing her, I would love her to come back on The Real Housewives.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, I would.
Not me, unless one of those ladies finally just brought a baseball bat and started knocking people in the head with it. Then I'd root for her to come back.
Well, you know, speaking of returning to The Real Housewives, have we all heard about the fact that Bethany Frankel is supposed to return to Real Housewives of New York as a guest star?
Oh, as a guest star, mate, like an occasional friend of, or what?
I guess. I mean, she's doing nothing. I mean, her entire world has fallen apart. She lost her husband. She lost her her talk show. She sold her skinny girl away. And now people kind of think that she's sort of, like, awful. So, you know, she's doing the right thing.
Well, she's getting $50 million or some shit like that. Maybe she just needs to go buy a big house somewhere, lock herself inside of it, and breathe deeply and be grateful. Is that so much to ask?
Yeah, well, she doesn't operate like that. You know, she needs to go back onto Real Housewives and rebuild her image.
Oh, God. I don't know that can work on these shows. It's a different world from when she's on. Who rebuilds their image? Who has a good image from being on Housewives? Maybe Lisa Vanderpump.
Well, Luann has rebuilt her image.
Only because she's not on it. It's like that person that you've never seen anymore and you remember them more fondly, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what Bethany will be doing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. As long as we don't have to go home with her. Ugh, that was the worst. It's like, I'm doing a calendar. Look at me. I'm doing a calendar. I'm in a calendar. It's about animals. Okay, what else? Ah, so hot being famous. Oh, my assistants. Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, she's stupid. And Dana Wilkie. Did we talk about this last week?
No.
This is my favorite part of, this is my favorite piece of gossip in a long time. Dana Wilkie got arrested in Florida for insurance fraud, like a big one, that she was actually carrying out with a couple of other people, and that bitch is going down. She's going to jail.
And by the way, for people who don't know who the hell Dana Wilkie is, she was like a friend of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 2.
Yeah, she was the one. Look at these sunglasses, $25,000.
My son can speak Thai.
Yeah,
he's 18 months. He can speak Thai. Isn't that crazy?
And then she came on the next year all drunk and bitter because she wasn't asked back and made a total ass out of herself at Lunch with Taylor. I mean, if you can make yourself uncomfortable around... I mean, if you can make Taylor Armstrong uncomfortable because you're too much of a wreck.
Yikes.
What else did we have? I guess that's it.
Well, the other gossip is that we went to Leah Black's house over the weekend. And we hung out with such Bravo luminaries as Leah Black herself and Jeff Lewis and Gretchen and Slade.
I didn't talk to Jeff Lewis. I talked to his boyfriend a little bit. And Gage. I kept wanting to call him Garth.
Hot. Very hot.
He's cute, right?
Yeah, very cute.
He's nice. I made him really uncomfortable. It was fun.
You know, I didn't talk to either one of them because, I mean, I didn't have anything inherently I needed to say to them. If we were in a circle and then we were having a conversation as a group, then sure, I would have talked. But I wasn't like two of the other people at that place that were kissing ass.
Oh, my God. There were these two gay guys there who were just falling all over the place. And we were like, hey, guys, how do you know all these people? And one of them was like, I run a celebrity blog. I used to run the celebrity blog. And I had a party for it. And Leah brought all of the Housewives of Miami.
Well, so here's the thing. To be fair, at first I thought these guys were really nice. And they were really nice. They were nice. They were nice the entire time. But at first, I thought they were like nice and like, oh my God, these guys are fun. And
they were really nice and fun. They were just really dumb faggitos.
No, well, we had like a great conversation about House Hunters. It was like so fun. I was like, these guys are awesome. Like, this is great. New friends. But then they were like, oh, by the way, could you give us like a ride down the hill? Because we have to get an Uber. It'd just be a lot easier if you give us a ride down the hill. I'm like, yeah, sure. But then they get drunk. And Leah had her psychic there. And hopefully you guys all remember Leah's psychic from the show. This short little guy who has a little chain and he counts numbers and says weird things.
An elastic jeans.
Truly. He was like keeping the torch alive for Beagle Boy. But he's
like, just in case I gain 500 pounds tonight. In case I eat too much of the sushi. Norman, and I don't want to have to unbutton my pants.
So it was hilarious because once these two adorable gays got drunk, they became obsessed with trying to like hang out with Jeff Lewis. And I like it took an hour over an hour to get them out of the house. And when, because I was like trying to leave, but then they were like, no, but we have to like talk. One of them was like, listen, I'm having a moment with Jeff Lewis, so can you just hold on a moment?
Oh my God. So of course, I just went outside and watched like it was a TV show. I just
Same.
Sat
That's
there
what
and
I did
watched.
Too.
And Jeff Lewis just basically openly mocked this person.
He did.
And skewered him for literally like 30 minutes. And the guy's like, why are you being so mean to me, Jeff? And then Jeff would just kind of laugh and completely mock him. It was really, really funny. Just like he does on the show, but in real life. And it was like he's interested. It's like a cat with a little toy, you know?
Yeah,
a pathetic little jingle jangle toy. That doesn't even know it's being batted around. It's like, you're not being complimented. And then later he's like, Jeff gave me his phone number. I'm like, yeah, right. Wait till you call it. It's probably like the weather.
Yeah.
The time, you know?
It was, and then he proceeded to show us all the dick pics he'd received, like, in the past, I don't know, year or whatever.
And yeah, like, congratulations, I was like, is that Grindr? And he's like, no, it's just my text.
Yeah, I'm like, congratulations, you speak to gay guys. Everyone gets dick pics. I don't know why I'm throwing so much shade at him.
Such a non-Bravo thing, too, but it was so funny.
Yeah, it was. But actually what was funny was Leah's – I was sitting next to Gretchen. Oh, actually, let me back up. So Gretchen's there, and at one point, she points to Ronnie. She points to, like, this group because it was Ronnie and I, and also Amy Phillips, who does all the Bravo impersonations. And if you haven't seen her Shannon Bedore impersonation on Bravo, go to our Facebook page.
Yeah, she's so great.
So Gretchen's like – wait a second, which one of you people make fun of me? And then, like, Leah points to Ronnie, like, oh, that's Ronnie. And then Ronnie's like, well, then Ronnie points to me, he's like, well, it's both of us, really.
Oh, my God.
Like, Gretchen totally ignores that I had anything to do with this. So Gretchen starts, like, pointing her finger at Ronnie, like, in a way as being like, I'm cool with it, I think it's funny, but you can see that she doesn't really think it's that funny. But she's, like, hashing out with Ronnie, and I'm just, like, sitting there to the side, just sort of, like,
that was so awkward. Well, because she wasn't talking about the podcast, I don't think. I mean, what we ended up talking about was those videos that I used to make, which were Real Housewives in 2 minutes, and I stopped making them because they kept taking down my damn YouTube page.
Yeah.
But it's like my Big Brother in 2 minutes where I just, like, recap the show, but I just use screenshots from the show and then make all the voices or whatever. And, like, they're really mean, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Gretchen's voice, however. And so she was like, you guys make fun of me. I want to see your impression. And she really does talk like that. She's like, I want to see your impression of me. And Roy, Leah's husband, had just finished telling Amy, you know what I love about you, Amy Phillips? You can send people up, but it's not in a mean way. You're a nice girl. And of course, I'm not at all. I'm horrible, you know? So she's like, do your imitation of me. And so I was like, Vicky's mean. However, Vicky's not nice. However. I just kept doing that over
and over.
I didn't
totally get it.
And she just kind of looked like, like she didn't really get it. But it was amazing to do it. And then for some reason, Slade, I don't know what Slade thought about that, but Slade told me he's going to be a serious actor now and stop with reality shows. And then I was like, you know, maybe it's time to go.
Yeah, that was what we were laughing about, that he's like, yeah, I'm trying to get away from reality and get into drama. I think we're like, no, when you say trying to get away from reality, that means you go into a whole different field. You don't stay on TV, and you're definitely not going to go into drama. But actually, Gretchen was really sweet. She was totally nice.
You know what? Slade was actually really nice, too, so...
I mean, I didn't have to say that. I didn't get impressed. He just sort of was like Slade. He had big hair. But what was funny was I was sitting next to Gretchen while she was getting her fortune read by Leah's fortune teller. And it was this totally bizarre moment where, you know, this guy Norman was like, okay, I'm going to read you. He's like, he starts waving this chain and he's like, okay, PH 18, 16, 16, 15, 14, 13, 14, 13, 15. Okay, you are a 15-year-old on the inside. She's like, I am. And then he's like, okay, purple, red, purple, green, purple, purple. I'm seeing purple. And then he starts looking at her fingers and he's like, okay, I see some creases here. These are twins. Do you have twins in your life? And she's like, oh my God, Slade, he just said twins. And Slade's like, huh? And she's like, I the other day, I cracked open an egg and two yolks came out. And I said, I hope this doesn't mean I'm going to have twins. And I was like, you are so bringing, like, she literally said this. And it was just funny because it's like, that's how psychics work. I mean, they say something and then you bring everything to the table, you know, like, no, the fact that you saw, first of all, an egg with two yolks is like does not mean you're going to have twins, and that's it's a thing that happens. I see them. I'm not having twins.
It also means you should start buying organic eggs. You cheap bitch.
So it's just funny that she I don't think she even realized how much information she kept on volunteering to the psychic. And at one point, the psychic read something totally wrong. And then she's like, well, and he goes, wait, hold on a second. No. I meant the opposite of that because I just realized this. And just like, it was.
Well, Gretchen so told me inside, she's like, well, me and Slade are planning. She goes, oh, well, I'm trying to get pregnant. And I said, does Slade know that? And she started laughing. She's like, that's funny. I said, wow, you sure stick to your guns until you get what you want. I mean, geez, how long have you been talking about that? She's like, he's not right.
But then well, here's actually what was funny. To Norman's credit, he told her that they're not going to be able to conceive. And she's like, what? No, da 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 da. And then he's like, oh, wait, no, I misread that because he saw he had upset her. And then like 10 minutes later, she's like, she mentions that Slade had a vasectomy. And Norman's like, oh, well, that's why I said you can't conceive because he's had a vasectomy. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, I thought you were talking about conceiving pilot ideas. Yeah, I guess he's going to have to reverse the I mean, I don't know. I just told her to adopt a baby. It's like, why do we need other children? Just adopt one that's already there. And she's like, well, we want to try and have one that's ours. I was like, why? She said, that's just natural. And I'm like, I didn't say this, but I mean, if you're Slade and Gretchen, why does that need to keep going on? You don't need to have exact replicas of those. You guys are great and everything, but just adopt. Do us all a favor and just adopt, okay?
Well, I guess we'll see how
But they're both super nice. Yeah, and that little Ross Matthews really guy was there, and he's nice.
Yeah.
And bold. He was wearing red pants.
He was nice, and I don't remember what – there were some Bravo producers there and stuff. And we were just sort of like lingering around eating all the free food.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we're pretty good about not being too Hollywood and trying to get jobs from everybody because we talked to a lot of people who could probably hook us up. But
yeah, they
I was
were
like, "Do you know where the?" Exactly. I was like, "Can I ask you a really important question? Do you know if there's more wasabi?" Like, damn it! Yeah. Try and get a sitcom or something, boy.
I know there were actually real executives there, and we're sitting there like gorging our faces with cupcakes and sushi.
But you never know at Leah's party because some of them are, you know, famous people and some of them are like, oh, I was her Uber driver last week and she offered me a room in her home. Yeah. Yeah, so who knows? Let's move on to some show recapping, shall we?
Yeah.
What do you want to start with?
Oh, you know, I just watched the Real Houses of New York City reunion, and I took some notes, so
well,
I can talk about that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So,
Sonia's Christian.
Sonia is Christian. She knows how to forgive because she's Christian.
Oh, my God.
She's like a nun.
You know, I really wasn't all for the Iraqis slaughtering the Christians until I saw that.
Yeah. You know,
you're in the wrong country.
I think I had a dream that Gia Judaeus became a nun. I had a dream last night, by the way, that I, like... Teresa Giudice decided that she wanted to be a singer like every other Bravo star, and she sang a cover of All the Man That I Need, but it was so funny because she was going, you're all the man that I need. Just very intense in my dream. And you know when you have a dream and like you're like, this is a dream, but this is what it would feel like if it were real. Like I basically know what it's like to hear Teresa Giudice sing All the Man That I Need. It was amazing.
God, I would never be able to go back to sleep.
I didn't.
I'd be like those people in the Freddy Krueger movies, like eating coffee grounds. I'm like trying to tape my lids open.
I woke up inside my mattress. There was like a tongue coming out of my telephone and it smelled like meatballs. So anyway. Okay. So the Real Housewives of New York reunion, it started off with some more Aviva craziness. When she started, Aviva's new thing is that she insults people, and then later when she's called on it, she claims that it's a compliment. she apparently said to Carol, she's like, well, at least I'm not 50. And then she's like, well, I meant that as a compliment.
Because I thought you were 70.
I thought you were older than that. Like, I don't understand.
I was
like,
calling you 50 to be nice. I thought you were way older. Like,
so is that the thing? Like, when you insult, when you're complimenting people, you say it in like a disparaging way. Well, at least I'm not young and beautiful. That's a compliment.
Yeah, she's really a mean bitch, but she just sticks to her guns. Like, I still kind of like her. I hope she doesn't get fired from the show. She's so funny.
Villain. She's a great villain. I mean, she also did the thing with the compliment later when she called Sonya Anna Nicole Smith. She's like, well, I think it's a great compliment. She was vivacious. She was beautiful. And then everyone's like, she died of drugs.
Yeah, she died of a drug overdose. But you know what? I mean, Aviva's not wrong. Aviva's not wrong. I mean, actually, at least Anna Nicole Smith had her own show. She had a billionaire husband. She had a cute kid. Which
she had a professional, you know, leech in Howard Stern.
Yeah, well, Sonya's got the professional leeches, but she doesn't have her own show yet. She's still got a way to go. I mean, I guess I'm trying to say Anna Nicole Smith should be a goal for Sonya, not a put down.
That's true.
Sonya's way further along.
Sonya's like, well, you know, the metaphor is appropriate. You know, I used to be a Guess Jeans model. Yeah, I used to be Guess Jeans and Bugle Boy. You know, Bugle Boys do very well in the psychic community. Bugle Boy. I do a lot of Lee's jeans. I'm very big in Saint-Tropez. I've got a billboard in Saint-Tropez, and they say, "Hey, I can't say." People are crashing their cars because they see me in my Lee jeans on the billboard in Saint-Tropez, and they crash their cars. So it's like it's very big. I'm very big around the world. They want my jeans.
Yeah, one time I was at JCPenney, and I was like, "Ugh, JC, why don't you just make it pennies?" And they did.
Yeah, I once said Kmart, and I said, Kmart, what does the K stand for? Just call it Mart. And that that's something they're going to do. And they're going to sell my toaster in it. And what you do is when my jeans are wet, you put it in the toaster, and it dries the jeans. It's great. And everyone in Saint-Tropez wants one.
A jean dryer. You know that Mervyn's commercial where there's just a woman going open, open, open? That was based on me.
Yeah.
I'm a model.
You know, Flo, the progressive girl. That's me. That's me.
Flo, the progressive girl.
I'm a progressive
Christian.
Yeah, I dress in white. And so they said, hey, Flo, why don't we want a Sonya Morgan, but they couldn't get me. You know, they couldn't get me. I was doing my show in Saint-Tropez. They couldn't get me. So they got Flo. That's okay. Rolls off my back.
I'm looking at comments about New York. Well, you took notes. What else happened in New York?
So the big thing, which I actually thought was, to me, this was actually a little bit more jaw-dropping. Maybe I'm just like too PC or whatever, but I thought when Aviva could not have sounded any whiter than when she was accusing Heather of essentially sounding black. So when she was when they were recalling the moments when Heather had called Aviva a motherfucker, and Aviva's like, "This isn't the hood, this is the Hamptons," as if like saying motherfucker automatically makes you equates to being in the hood, which is so hilarious and also so like quietly racist. Like the implications are so racist. I don't even know if it's racist. There's just like it oozes of ignorance.
Well, thing is, like, Aviva has all of these things to say that she's prepared beforehand. I mean, it's like the whole leg thing. Like, she said, like, she was ready to throw that leg. She was waiting for someone to say something, and they didn't, and she had to actually come up with a line to like make it okay to throw her leg. Because no one called her fake or whatever. And I think this is the same thing. I think this one, she was coming in because Heather's trying to talk like she's a hip-hop star who, like, lives in P. Daddy's guest room, and she doesn't, and she's not.
Well, and so, I mean, here's the thing. I think, to be totally honest, we joke that Heather tries to sound like a hip-hop star. I think, in reality, I don't think that she is truly trying to sound like a hip-hop star. I think she tries to sound young and cool. I don't think she tries to talk, basically, black.
She totally does. It's so embarrassing. I cringe even thinking about it.
Well, this actually gets into a whole linguistic issue, because the line between sounding like trying to sound cool and trying to sound black is very blurred, because obviously, like, you know, dominant, like, the like culture takes from, like, you know, black culture and gay culture, and there's this whole raging thing going on right now about that. And I just feel like I've seen people trying to talk black, quote unquote black, and like Heather is so, like, if she is doing that, she's so the lightest version of it. But I do think she is trying to sound like cool and hip, you know? But either way,
there's I think she's really... totally trying to sound hip hop and she just can't pull it off. She's too she's way too white and too old. And she doesn't get it, and she's out of touch, and she looks like a total dork.
But that,
like, I feel like her children would be like, oh, God, Mom, like, well, that's embarrassing.
They will, for sure. But that being said, there's really nothing more cringeworthy than hearing an old white lady saying something like, you're in my face getting all ghetto.
Yeah, I mean, she was prepared to go after for all of her, like, stupid language, wannabe language that whole year. But I guess since it never came up, she used motherfucker. So it's like, I don't know, she needs to be coached on how to properly do it, because she's not bringing people down like she could be, because she's not using the right segues. Yeah. I mean, maybe we should call her, because we've really worked on our segues over the years.
Yeah, we really have. But still, though, when Aviva says, you're not brought up in the ghetto, girl, holla, there is, like, an element that I'm just imagining that a lot of black people cringed, because there's just...
Oh, I'm sure. It's such a loaded term
to use ghetto. I mean, here's the thing. It's weird. In certain contexts, you can be like, oh, my God, this is so ghetto. You know? That's sort of how people use the term ghetto
like you're literally trying to sound like a black person.
Exactly.
And instead of saying trying to sound like a black person, she's saying you sound ghetto, which is offensive. Like, I get it. Right. I'm not sticking up for her.
I think these days using the term ghetto is a way to describe things that are broken down, whatever. I don't think you're really not supposed to apply it to people anymore, I think. In fact, at my college, they had a party when I was a sophomore. There was a party called the Ghetto Party, and they're like, people come dress up like you, like you have a crack baby and blah, 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 blah. And it was hugely controversial. It made national news. It was like they debated it on Politically Incorrect. It was a whole big deal. So I'm sort of like, ever since then, it was like, oh my God, don't use ghetto the wrong way. But it's sort of true, though. I mean, you can't say, like, for Aviva to say, you're in my face acting all ghetto, is kind of code, you know? If you were to say, oh, my God.
It's not even code. I mean, she knew what she was saying, and Heather did too, and she turned it around, and she's like, that is so offensive. I grew up with a single mother, and we were poor. I'm like, well, Heather, please, like, you don't know what she's saying. Come on.
I think what Heather was saying was that, like, I grew up like this, and what you're saying is actually so disrespectful for people who were raised in, you know, quote unquote the hood or quote unquote the ghetto, you know, in areas like that. I think that's what I took from what she was trying to say.
I took it as, I am street, bitch. I was poor, so that's why I can talk like that. I'm not some phony. And I was like, you're still a phony. I don't care.
Either way,
being poor doesn't make you street.
I was really glad, honestly, when Heather just turned to Aviva and said, you don't even know what you're talking about. It's insulting. And I was like, thank you. Because it wasn't. It's what Aviva was saying, regardless of whether you think Heather's trying to, like, talk black or cool or whatever, what Aviva was saying was, like, actually.
Yeah, I'm not arguing. Totally. Aviva's an asshole. Like, I don't even have a problem with her being an asshole. I just want her to be better at it, because she gets confused.
Exactly. But then what was hilarious was that Aviva would not, like, relent. And she's like, well, there are people in gangs who speak very rough. Just like, if just because you say motherfucker does not, like, take you down to the level of being in the Crips and the Bloods.
Especially when they just showed a clip of her saying "shut the fuck up" to somebody.
I know. Exactly.
They tried to bring that up, there, babe.
They tried to, like, throw that in Aviva's face, and she, like, didn't even. But the best is when Ramona tries to play the mediator, and she's like, "Well, you know, a lot of your expressions are like you're brought up in the ghetto."
I love when Ramona told her, well, you know, Aviva, we've become friends this season, and, you know, I know that we've learned to enjoy each other, but let's face it, sometimes your personality is real fun, and sometimes it's just really vile. And Aviva's like, you know what, I don't know how I can talk about this anymore to someone who calls me vile. I don't know, I'm not going to talk to someone who calls me vile. Like, and then that's when Ramona turned around, like, to face her. And then you see Andy, like, all confused because he's been ramrodded again in his own stupid show.
And Andy's like, well, I think that what Ramona's saying is that sometimes you're vile. And she's like, you know what, I don't have to do this. I don't have to say anything. I am who I am. I know what I know. And I know that Carol doesn't write her own book. And that's that. And I'm okay with it. And Heather's from the ghetto. And Heather speaks like she's in a gang. And if you look up a black person dictionary, it's Heather.
Though I love that Romana just won't drop it. She's like, okay, let's start over. Okay, you know what I was saying before. Let me say it again. And then I'm going to say it again. And she's trying to get all therapeutic on her. And Andy's in the background just shaking his head. Like, how did this get away from me? It's like, babe, you never had it. Like, I can't believe that they're ever quiet for you. The best part of these reunions is watching Andy not be able to control one single thing. I love it.
Well, I like when Romana is like trying to be peacemaker and says like the worst thing. When she says that, she's like, you know, I found you very friendly, but then you're also vile. Or when she's talking about Heather's kid, she's like, you know, he's doing so well, and you're such an inspiration, and you're dealing with a lot of hardships, and he's a wonderful kid, and you know what? He doesn't even realize he's handicapped. And it was like,
do you know how much money she's gonna save on orchestra seats? Like, thanks, Romana.
You can sit in the back. It's okay. You don't ever have to take him to a rock concert.
iTunes is expensive.
My father always said, I wish you were deaf so I wouldn't have to pay for all this music I'm buying you. My father always said, here, we're going to go to a concert where Geraldine Parsons-Smith is going to play trombone. You're going to like it. And I said, Mom, I wish I were deaf so I wouldn't have to listen to Geraldine Parsons-Smith play trombone.
And my dad, it's like my wish went onto your child. It's almost like you were near me when I was making that wish and it went into your womb. Okay,
so you should really be thanking me, okay, because now your son doesn't have to deal with the things that I had to deal with as a child, okay?
Oh my
sorry.
God, fucking Romana.
No, it doesn't have to.
All right, what else happened in this reunion?
I mean, there's a lot of, like, general chatter, and Kristen was complaining about this or that. Kristen was being annoying, as usual. I did like, honestly, when Sonya did say that when she was able to forgive because she's Christian, and you hear Luann in the background goes, oh, now I've heard everything. That was pretty much the way the entire reunion was like, oh, here we go again. Now I've heard everything.
Oh, Sonya.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that was really the bulk of it. There was other stuff. Carol was like, don't get me mad.
Real Housewives of New York. Where is it? Real Housewives of New York. Let's see some reader comments. Heather is smart. Romana said to Aviva, no, your future tripping, which was awesome.
Yeah, I know. Talk about ghetto.
This is the hood. This is the Hamptons. Yeah, I think we got it all.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go on to New Jersey? I also wrote notes about that.
Okay, let's do it.
So we had the fallout from the big fight. And so basically it started off where we saw Jim Marchese, whatever, fighting.
Oh, man, did he dig his hole deep as possible.
You know what I don't like about this guy is that he's making me take Joe Giudice's side. Like, he is a little prick. He is a little weasel asshole prick. And I love that when he's squaring off against Joe Gorga and he's like, you're like, hey, take a step back. And he goes, it's called attitude and decor. I'm like, no, it's attitude and decorum. Not
oh, my God.
I like the idea of, like, this is involving attitude and also perhaps some interior design.
No one on this show needs help with decor, okay? They've got that covered. They've got their gold-covered roosters in their French country kitchens. Just fine.
Edible arrangement platters, like, right in the middle. I don't know if you noticed that. I was like, there's an edible freaking arrangement thing in the middle of this thing. On top.
Yeah, but he comes in, guns a-blazing, calls Midget Joe an idiot, says that he works for the DA that is prosecuting Joe, which is a lie. It's not even true.
Yeah. I think poor Nicole, one of the twins, she tells us, and my favorite quote of hers, it's actually a two-part quote. That's both parts are very funny. First, she goes, I'm upset this fight had to happen in front of upstanding members of our community, which it's like, I am really sad about this community. I saw the people that weren't even speaking. I paused the screen many times. And I was like, these ladies with their big boobs and big makeup, the fact that they're upstanding members of the community gives me great concern for Colts Neck, New Jersey. And then she goes, she's like, in front of upstanding members of our community and in front of people I have to see in the post office and Dunkin' Donuts. She said it completely seriously. My culotta. I have such culotta shame now. I can't even get my culotta in peace.
Oh, my God.
No one even said that.
Gail talk.
I know. I actually have, once again, I have another kind of sore on my tongue because I went to the dentist and I think the drill poked me. So when I do my Nicole impersonation, it actually hurts too much to do it because it requires my tongue to move in a certain way. Oh, so God. I just have this weird that noise.
Amber leaves. She goes up the stairs and leaves the basement they're partying in. I mean, what is that? What's happening at this
party? I thought it was so funny. This party was all in a basement.
Yeah, like, it's like in someone's basement.
Yeah.
And she leaves, and then whatever stupid twin, I don't know the difference,
Nicole,
starts, like, giving a monologue to the whole party. She's like, that girl is nothing but disrespectful, and I don't appreciate the way. I'm not going to take it. And that girl, she better think twice. I'm like, oh,
she's
my God.
She's never coming to me with a – she's never coming to Dunkin' Donuts with me ever, ever. If she wants to come to Dunkin' Donuts with me, she better apologize and there better be a little bit of remorse in it, okay?
She better not even park outside the Dunkin' Donuts, because if she does, I'm going to have to weigh some donut holes on her windshield. And that will make me angry.
Those culottes are just for me, okay? No culottes for Amber. She has to go to Krispy Kreme, okay?
Sorry. So Amber goes out. Of course, she forgot her keys and has to go back in.
And then
what happened?
Well, then what happens is that, oddly enough, Teresa is calm. Teresa and the other one, Dina Manzo, and I think it was two of them, and Rosie, I believe. Maybe Rosie, or maybe Rosie. Maybe it's
Rosie. Look, here's how you do the fight, okay? You tell her you're not going to take a shit, and if she gives you shit, you say, no, I ain't taking that, okay?
Thanks, Rosie. More fighting advice from Rosie.
So, oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Melissa, Dina, and Teresa. And they said to Jim, they're like, we just want to know, like, what's going on. Like, we had heard that you didn't want to hang out, whatever. And then Jim is just such an ass. He's like, okay, let me explain this to you, okay? I work in mortgages, all right? And now Joe is being accused of mortgage fraud, okay? I want you to think about that for a second. And they're like, and he's like, Jesus, does anyone in this room have an IQ higher than 12? I mean, he was right, but at the same, like, you don't say that.
Yeah, so rude. But Dina does.
Yeah, Dina does, actually. And
he
was
knows what the hell he's saying. And I love that Dina's like, yeah, you just called us stupid, and you're a pussy.
And she's so, like,
you're a little bitch.
She actually had an amazing line where she's like, the amount of douchebaggery in Jim Marchese is enough to clean a whale's vagina. I was like, wow, that's a good line. That was good. And she's right. I mean, he is like a little dweeb, and he's like, you know how I fight? I don't like to get into fights. I like to take. I'm a lawyer. I take them into the court, and I like abuse them over 3 years, and I ruin their lives. Da, da, da. I was like, shut up, you man. He's talk about a guy with a
short man. Yeah, short guy. Short man on Jersey. That's all we fucking need.
Also, by the way, what should also be noted is that when he started talking to the women, first he started to lie. He's like, no, I only said, you know. You know, I like to be with my wife. I like, you know, if I'm going to go out, I want to go out with my wife. I don't want to go out with guys, but maybe there'll be a fight. And, like, I'm doing it really, honestly, because I'm looking out for your husband. That's all. I'm doing it out of concern for your family. That's all. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that guy is the worst. And I think he is cast for, I think that couple was cast for him.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I was also thinking about Real Housewives of New Jersey on a macro level. And I was thinking about why all this business doesn't seem to, like, it seems sort of annoying and stupid. Because, you know, what happened was the whole rest of the episode was talk about, oh, my God, like, Amber and Jim. Like, Amber used to be so sweet, now she's not. Or Jim was like this and da-da-da-da. Or I'll never speak to Amber again. She's gossiping. It's all this stuff. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is, like, entertaining, but it all kind of feels stupid and contrived. And I realized that I think the issue here, and it also surfaces in Atlanta, which makes Atlanta feel kind of like fake or whatever, is that an issue arises and then suddenly it's World War III out of nowhere, and then people just hold on to it in such a deep, angry way that you think you're being so ridiculous. Whereas if you look at OC this season, the reason why it's been so good is that it's been this amazing slow build between Shannon and Heather. And, like, you can see their attempts to diffuse it early on. You can see, like little run-ins. They get a little chippy. And it builds and builds and builds. And then finally it explodes. And then you're really into it. And you also understand it, because that's the way life is. So it's strange that, okay, so Amber gossips about Nicole. Nicole hears it from Melissa. All of a sudden they're pulling each other's hair. And it's like, it goes from 0 to 60 so fast that it doesn't. It feels like they just want to fight.
Yeah, and I think it just gets to that point where Jerry Springer, you know, a fight broke out. It made that show really popular, and then before you know it, every episode was fighting. And then the next season, there's 5 security guards on duty because that's just how it is now. Like every time somebody comes out, they start fighting, then they calm down. And that's how these shows are getting. It's like once they cross the line of being able to hit somebody, now every one of them has somebody hit somebody. Like Miami, they had the thing where somebody got hit. Then it happened on this one. It happened, which was the other one? Atlanta. It happened on Atlanta next. Now this one. It's like.
But again, I feel like.
It's devolving into pure shit. I mean, it's always been. You know, one interesting thing Slade told me the other day, and I didn't talk to him for like 3 hours, but he was being really nice. And he was like, you know, these shows are just all about these women being mean to each other. And I'm like, duh. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, they were supposed to be a comedy. They were created by a groundling, which I didn't know. I didn't know that guy was a groundling. He's like, yeah, so one of the guys from the Groundlings Theater created this show to be a sitcom about, like, an improvised sitcom about all these women. And that's why the first season was kind of funny. And then, you know, like once somebody got in a fight and people got ratings, then it's just slowly turned into what it is. And right. I think that's so interesting because what I love about them are not the fights. I actually love when they're, that's why I'm loving Melbourne. They're fighting, but they're so stupid. The fights are so stupid. The funny parts are where the ladies are just, they're only following the ladies single, you know?
Yeah.
Like the barrister who wears all the makeup and like. I mean, I was dying laughing through the whole thing. It's like a sitcom. And these are like Jerry Springer. I don't watch. I just hate that shit. It makes me want to turn it right off.
But that's why New Jersey and Atlanta sometimes feel kind of like very thin experiences. You know, when you looked at the first season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, it was so captivating because it was a slow build. It started with Camille versus Kyle and the, you know, they got bad vibes from each other, and then apparently there was this comment that was said, and then they tried to hash it out, and then they tried to, and it just like it builds. And
but
it builds,
also,
and
it
builds.
Was building because it was such a stupid little thing, and it wasn't about a fight. That season wasn't about fighting. It was about these crazy women with all this damn money acting like fools, not necessarily fighting each other, but like Lisa in the DMV. I mean, that's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, where she had to go to the Beverly Hills DMV with Cedric the Leech. Like, that shit was amazing. And that's why the fight was so interesting, because it's actually, you kind of ended up liking all these people because they were hilarious. So the fact that they were fighting over something so stupid was actually kind of fun to watch, you know?
Right. But still, though, I mean, I just think that when the people are quick to fight, and then not just fight, but then, like, to all of a sudden, like, we are no longer friends. We are no longer friends over something so small and so stupid. It just doesn't captivate in the same way as truly watching something build up and unfold.
Yeah, it's just totally phony.
And that's why.
And
I think
what
this
about
show's...
the boyfriend? So Bobby or whatever, one of the boyfriends, wasn't he the one who went up to Joe and was like, "Oh, they don't want to hang out with you." That was him, right?
Yeah, he was the one who instigated all of this.
Yeah, he's the one who started it. So I don't think it's bad at all that his friends dumped him. I think they're smart. Yeah,
I agree. And he started all of this, and he did it with, like, a laugh. He was like, well, he said, he told me all this stuff. He never said, don't tell anyone. And it's like, you're a real putz.
Yeah, that should be implied. Don't tell anyone. Stupid.
Yeah.
So basically, Amber and her midget husband broke up with him. And we're like, get out of our house. You're no longer our friend because you're staying with that evil woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, okay. And he left. And he's like, maybe now my baby will believe that I love her because I dropped my friends for her. It's like, no, you actually just started a huge fucking fight. And she's too stupid to know that it was all your fault until she sees this. So bye.
Yeah, why don't you propose to her? Then she'll know.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm. You break it, you buy it. what else happened on that show? This show always consistently depresses me.
I know.
Every season of Jersey, it stresses me out. The people on it are so fucking horrible. I just want them all to fucking die. And it's only episode, what, 4?
Yeah. Well, you know, so the other things that happened were that, you know, there were, you know, Amber did have a point that Melissa basically was like shitty and passive aggressive to her. I mean, I mean, Amber did gossip. That's true. And then Melissa immediately goes and tells like the new friend, as opposed to like looking out for her old friend. You know, that is shitty. And I did agree with Amber on that point. But yeah, the whole thing is so stupid. The other things that happened, this actually made me laugh, and I felt bad because I shouldn't laugh because she's just a little girl. But when the dog ate the chicken. And they had a flashback of Gia in like the dog pen, and she was like, "Dad, he was eating them. I don't know what to do." I started laughing because they were playing this like very serious like music.
And he's like, "So what? Who cares? We'll go buy more chickens."
She's like, "Dad,
just go get some more. We'll just go get some more chickens for him to kill."
Dad.
No, oh, Gia.
Poor Gia. She's have a complicated life coming up.
Yeah, she does. So what else?
Let's see. Dina went on a date with that guy who's like, "I'll just have some coffee. I'll have some coffee, please."
Yeah, the nervous gay guy. Whatever. Yeah. Next.
Let's see. That's really it. I mean, Amber went to the spa with Dina and Teresa, and they had Nightingale droppings put on their face. Pretty basic stuff.
Okay.
I think we can move on.
Okay, so OC.
OC. So
okay,
good.
So kind of continuing about what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
I have loved Shannon this whole season, and I still do, but you know what? She's on my nerves now. Because she's doing the exact same thing. She's like, "Oh, you know, you want to see a fight? You better watch out." It's like, "Oh, Jesus. You're already a fucking shrew, just like the rest of them. And you're not even done." Like, normally you guys wait until your second seasons before you turn into C-words. Now, it's like Lizzie and you are already totally there in the first season. I don't like it.
Oh, but don't act like you didn't enjoy watching all the women gang up on Tamara.
It would have been fun if she sat there and took it, but she didn't.
Yeah.
She just ran away.
Yeah. It was fantastic. It was honestly, it was like everything I had dreamed for. And I love
also,
Vicky.
Tamara does have a point that Lizzie girl is just totally coming for and turning everyone against her. Now, she's doing it with true comments that Tamara said. But Tamara's always a bitch and making jokes behind everybody's back. That's
exactly.
It's not like it's a surprise, but Lizzie's turning it into like this capital offense that now everybody's suddenly offended by Tamara, when Tamara usually does a lot worse to people.
Oh, so much worse. There was one example, in fact, I wish I had written it down, that Tamara kept on throwing in the face of everyone else, and it was like, "Tamara, you do the exact same thing to everyone. Oh, she's just a... She's just terrible. And I loved how Vicky was just sitting there just like shaking her head like,
Vicky totally like needs a storyline, so she turned on the victim tears. That was hilarious. Yeah. Like, she's so shocked that Tamara doesn't like Brooks. Shut up.
I know.
Like, "I thought we were friends again." It's like, shut up. Brooks is a piece of shit. Everybody knows Brooks is a piece of shit. Longevity doesn't change the fact that he's a piece of shit, all right? A piece of shit doesn't just morph into something else if you leave it on the grass. It just gets colder and harder.
I did love how there was just like all this, like the producers kept on showing all this evidence of Tamara talking shit about everyone. Tamara's like, "I never said that." And then it showed like three clips of her talking crazy shit, like in this casual way. She'd be like lifting weights. She'd be like, "Yeah, you know, I heard that Brooks is actually a terrorist from Kuwait." Yeah.
But I love that she leaves and Heather doesn't even, Shannon doesn't even care. She just continues.
Like, yeah.
She just continues dropping bombs until the plane's empty. Love it.
Yeah. No, it was,
Oh, and then she got Heather, because what did Tamara say about Heather? That they weren't real friends and she was just in her wedding because,
for
publicity or something. But we never saw Tamara say that, right?
I don't even know what that came from.
And then Heather was like, but at least went straight up to Tamara's face, which is more than I can say for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tamara's breakdown has been amazing, by the way. She freaked out a couple weeks ago, started telling everybody off on Twitter, started telling everybody off on Facebook, then canceled her Facebook account and left the country. Then she turned it back on this week, and one of her posts was like, "Just to clear the air, I was not fired, and
And then, of course, her Facebook erupted into giant fuck yous from everybody on Earth, it seemed like.
I think it's great. And by the way, it does prove my point that the entire season, all the drama of the season has, it's led to this point, naturally. Everything is this, a coherent story. All the drama, it all, it came down to this point, as opposed to, other seasons where there's just, flare-ups and flare-ups and flare-ups, and then everyone becomes friends again.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect, because next week is the season finale, and I love how the show is scaling back on budget. It's like they went to Bali, so their final party is like a pull-out table at Vicky's house. She's like, today, the theme today is peanut butter and jelly. Enjoy. You bitches aren't going to eat anyway. And then it's just yelling at Tamara.
By the way, someone says, Andrea Jean Robles. Says, by the way, I saw the exact same dress Tamara has in her opening at the TJ Maxx for $40.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said on our Facebook page about the durian. I lost it. I don't know where the comment went, but they said big ups to the producers for making them eat durian, which is supposed to be the most vile fruit on earth. Those girls just ate it without realizing.
Yeah, that they were like, it tastes like monkey ass. I know what durian is because I watch Chopped.
Yeah, I've had a baked durian pie at a Chinese place, and I thought it was all right.
It needs a lot of sugar, heavy cream, mm-hmm. and a good pie crust, guys. I've learned on Chopped. Okay.
And the only thing is that you get durian burps for the next 2 hours, and those are kind of nasty.
Gross.
I know. Other things in this episode that were notable were when Heather and Tamara were in a rice paddy. They're like, Tamara's like, I thought rice came from a rice tree.
It's like, doesn't everything crawl trays? They're like, no.
And they go up to this
poor lady. I want to see the rice. Pull the rice. And the lady's like, what? They're like, pull the rice. Show us the rice. Pull. I love the hand gestures. They're making hand gestures for just pick it up and take it out. And then they're like doing the look me in the eye thing. And then pick it up. And then the lady's like, we can't for whatever reason. And Heather's like, oh, there's a rule we need to follow.
Yeah, they're like another rule to follow. As if, I'm like, shut up. You're in a different country.
Yeah, be no respectful. Kidding. Get the four... Poor rice paddy lady fired, you dumb bitch. I hate those women. And then Tamara, they're like looking at this Buddhist temple, and Tamara's like, I don't get it. It's rocks with moss.
Yeah, oh. Jesus. She needs to be sacrificed at the altar. It was definitely an ugly American moment. And Vicky poking around in the temple and screaming. And
she's like, I wanted everyone to think there was a baddie in there.
It's Brooks.
So they all come after Tamara, basically, and Tamara just runs away. But now everyone's basically turned against her. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, Tamara's going to do that thing when Tamara is feeling like a victim. She does a thing where she speaks in very succinct, quiet syllables and sort of barely moves her lips and sort of she shakes her head a little bit too. No, I don't. No.
Yeah, she just can't believe.
It's like, oh, shut up. That's what she's going to do the entire next episode. I mean, Vicky does the same thing. But Vicky does it in a funnier way.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, she looked like she had just witnessed a murder, the way Tamara was. What's wrong? He's like, nothing. Tamara's like, are you sure?
I love that she wouldn't even go to the bathroom with her. That was so funny.
She's like, oh, it was great.
Matt Whitfield, was Lizzie's friend on Real Housewives of Orange County supposed to be a full-time cast member?
I think so.
Yes. Please come back for the OC reunion, please and thank you.
He wants Danielle to come back for it?
No, Derek and Paula want Matt to come back for the Real Housewives of Orange County reunion. We'll have to see if we can work that out.
Oh, by the way, also in my dream, no joke, Ronnie, before I ran into Teresa... You were like, I gotta go. I'm going to Derek's, birthday.
Derek our from Facebook what, Big comment. Brother?
No, Derek from our Facebook. You're going to his birthday party.
Derek Hazleton.
Yeah, thanks for the lack of a dream invite, Derek.
Yeah, poor Ben. You're getting flooded by Derek in your dreams.
I was left out in my dream. It's okay. I got to see Teresa sing instead.
Poor guy. Yeah, I would go to that party. I'd bring some muffins.
Yeah. Sweet.
I'd bring some durian muffins. Just kidding, guys. I'd bring some delicious lemon meringue muffins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What else? Should we move on to Game of Cows?
Yeah.
Wow. Now that show takes the cake for the most awful, disgusting pieces of shit human beings.
Yeah, and they're not
on Bravo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you even talking about on this show?
Yeah.
Half the show was some bitch whining about some stupid breast cancer walk like she's hosting the Oscars. She's like, I can't believe my friends aren't coming to watch me host the Oscars. And then you see her speech and she's like, I had breast cancer. Let's walk. Like, yeah. How long did it take you to write that?
I know. I mean, well, Shelley spends the entire time. By the way, everything that Shelley says is not for nothing. She's like, not for nothing. Not for nothing. I wanted to be at the wedding, but not for nothing. I had to go to the breast cancer work, but not for nothing. I made it both work out.
It's like she never quite got over the stardom she achieved in that Guys and Dolls dinner theater show she did when she was 16.
I know. Not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
I liked how Vanessa was so passive aggressive. Was like, you know what? Obviously, Lynn's wedding is more important, and it's going to really bother her more, so you don't have to come to my cancer walk. That's it. That's fine. That's it. That's fine.
That's fine. So I'm going to be at my cancer walk, whether you're at the wedding or you're at the cancer walk. I'm going to be there either way.
I have a lot of friends who love and support me, so I won't be alone. So I'll be okay, even if you were to come to my cancer walk for cancer.
As one of our lovely readers pointed out, her daughter wasn't even there, so whatever.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Lynn Diamante, I mean...
Not that Lynn Diamante is any better. She's having her 15th fucking wedding.
Well, this one's going to be like, you know, at the wedding, people were saying, I'm sorry. And, you know, this is going to cure me. This is going to cure me of everything now.
Oh, really? So you're not going to have another wedding next year? Right, mm-hmm. Right.
This is the cure. She had a gargoyle there. It's going to be like, it's going to be finally her first real wedding.
Yeah, she had to have standing gargoyles for the Game of Crowns cast members that weren't there.
And I love her and her husband climbing in together on their, like, twin bed and looking through, like, these terrible photo albums. And
she's the worst. It's like, I'm calling my husband. I can't believe that I have to change my wedding. I'm on hold trying to get a new cake and trying to find someone to read the speech. Like, no, you're not. You're not doing any of those things. Her conversation on the phone was, they hate me. They're being mean to me. And he's like, we'll fix it, babe. And then she's like, I'm on the phone with a cake maker. It's like, no, you're not. Yeah. Stop lying about everything.
Cake maker.
Liar.
Yeah, because I'm sure the cake maker of Cranston, Rhode Island is super busy with orders right now.
Yeah, and all like, those Rhode Island weddings that are happening.
He can't change the font on the sheet cake you've ordered.
He's already spray painted my picture on the cake.
We've already called AMP and put in our order for the cake.
Like, do you know how long a Ralph's cake lasts? I mean, that shit will last you through the zombie apocalypse. There's no reason to get a fresh cake.
Well, it's too late to change the order now. Costco stops taking orders on Sundays.
Oh. I hated that she said Lebanese so much. That really bugged me.
I was like, Ronnie. Every time she said that, I just heard Ronnie's
people. That really pissed me off.
Ronnie's people.
I don't like it. You know, I like when my people, if you say you're Lebanese, and my, you know, like my grandma would be like, yeah, so is Salma Hayek. That's a good one. But I don't want people being like, wasn't that girl on Game of Crowns half Lebanese? It's like, you ruined it. You fucking ruined it.
You're like, I like it when people refer to Beirut as the Paris of the Middle East. I don't like it when they refer to Lynn Diamante as being half Lebanese.
Yeah, Lynn Diamante is fucking terrible.
I love that name, though. God, is that a perfect name or what? Lynn Diamante?
And she got the worst half to be Lebanese, too. Her face, God bless her heart. Her nose, specifically.
Oh, my goodness. She had her arranged marriage to Julio.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of funny. She's like, thank God we love each other. I'm like, yeah, because you guys have no other options.
Yeah. And if he did, he wouldn't be able to see him anyway. Smullo, those look like joke glasses. Those look like those glasses you buy at a joke shop to make your eyes look like pin. Like that guy looked like the Muppet with the glasses. Skeeter.
That's probably why they... They probably have a twin bed, so that way they're forced to cuddle every night.
He's like, I want to be close to you so I can see you and make sure you're in bed. So yeah, that was the main fight this week, was who's going to the breast cancer walk, and then who's going to... Okay, so Vanessa is one of these people that... She has a breast cancer walk. She browbeats her stupid friend into coming. She's like, I changed my speech just so you could hear it to 6 a.m. on a wedding day, on someone's wedding day. So she shows up with her kids to see this damn speech, and it's like 2 sentences long. Then she makes her actually do the fucking walk.
Yeah, like
it's 25 like 18,
miles. 25 miles. I think she did like 18 miles of it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so she does like 18 miles, and then she's like, well, you know... I think I'm going to have to go now, or I'm going to be late to the wedding. And she's like,
not for nothing.
Okay. Well, I'm really disappointed that you couldn't stay. It's like, bitch, she just woke up at 5 a.m. and walked 18 miles for you. And you don't even have cancer. Stop it.
I know.
God, she's horrible. And then when she gets back to her house, she actually has a movie theater popcorn machine, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
And her husband's like, yeah, you make popcorn good, baby. And she's like, yeah, see, I don't need to have a wedding every year to prove to everybody that my husband loves me. I'm like, wow, you're the worst.
She's like, as I am like half Native American, it's very important for me to make popcorn for my husband.
Yeah. And every time, sometimes when my husband's gone, I sit in front of this machine and just mindlessly put nickels into it.
I want to see if I can make pop nickels.
Supporting my brothers and sisters who may or may not have cancer on the reservations. Shut up, Vanessa.
Vanessa. I don't know, I still like Vanessa.
I also like the really tough one who's like cousins with Stupid Amber from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Who's like, listen, I'm sick of everybody telling me what I'm supposed to do. I'm 30 years old. I can do what I want.
I've never been like this. Yeah.
And then Vanessa follows her out and she's like, listen, I don't want to tell you what to do. If you want to go to the wedding and crush my spirit, my cancer spirit, then go ahead. I'm supportive of you. If you want to ruin my life by supporting someone else's wedding, then go ahead, honey. I don't have any problem with that. She's like, yes, you do. You're being mean to me. She's like, no. It's just that you're going to rot in eternal hell for not supporting someone who once had cancer. But enjoy that. Have fun with it. Ugh. I hate that shit.
Oh, my goodness. And then I actually don't remember too much of the wedding. I remember that there was a gargoyle, and there was a woman in the wedding who was like staring at the gargoyle like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, those gargoyles weren't gargoyles. They were like, they were wearing Batman costumes, but with Freddy Krueger hands and then like Vanessa faces. I was like, what are these supposed to be?
Yeah, and then after all that, I sort of like fell asleep during the wedding, but I do remember that after all this talk about the butterfly release, they released the butterflies and they were like, we'll not leave, right?
Well, half like, those butterflies were damn dead, first of all.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how much luck that's supposed
what a way to
bring
go.
Your
if
marriage.
You're a butterfly, you're like, I'm a beautiful creature and I've died in the service of Lynn Diamante.
I've died in a horrible person's wedding. 15th wedding.
How did this happen? No, next year it's going to be like, well, I felt like the last year the wedding was like a funeral on account of all the butterflies that died. So this year I wanted to be a happy occasion.
I know. I love that she keeps bringing up her dead father. All I can think of is you got married a month after your dad died. That's kind of fucking cold. Would it have been hard for you to hold off for a few months? I mean, were you pregnant? What was the deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you seem like the asshole here.
Yeah. And I love that like her tacky friends got her a sash that said something like Mrs. Diamante. And she's like, oh my God. As if she didn't have like 15 of those already in her closet.
What else happened on this? Yeah.
I
think we should get rid of Game of Crowns, personally. Are you still into it?
Oh my God, I love it. It's the funniest show on Bravo. I tell everyone about it. This was actually the worst episode, but I still think the show is so funny.
Well, here is a challenge I will throw down to our lovely listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I think, first of all, New York is done, right? So now we've got Housewives of Jersey, the rest of Housewives of OC.
Melbourne.
Which I think they're showing episode 3 this week, so you need to watch all 3, okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll have room for one more. So
probably below deck.
Do you want it to be below deck? Do you want it to be this Jersey Bell show? Do you want it to be the Singles Project show?
No.
Because people right now are saying, watch this Singles Project thing. So you know, everyone, we need to decide what it's going to be.
Well, so here's the thing. We, this is an announcement for people. And in the upcoming few weeks, we're going to start working with a service that is sort of like Kickstarter for things like podcasts. And what it allows us to do is to support the podcast, allows people to support the podcast. Because one thing that we have an issue with as podcasters is that we have to watch all these shows and we have to talk about them. And it takes actually like a huge amount of time. And then we have to like edit the podcast. And it actually, you know, it's difficult. So what we're going to start to do is we're exploring ways to maybe have like a second episode of the podcast per week. But in order for us to do that, we are going to need to actually get some support, because it's just not feasible for us to do two episodes as it is right now. So if we were to do a second episode, we probably would cover shows like Below Deck or Jersey Bell or Singles Project. All these shows, we increase the content, and we're not trying to make people pay for content. We're not gonna be like, okay, suddenly have to pay for the podcast. It's just more like we would need support, and if we could get enough support, we would then
we'll cover everything.
Episode. Yeah. So I mean, obviously, we're gonna cover as much as we can during the regular show, during the regular podcast. But you know, in the coming weeks, we're exploring how to layer in this infrastructure so that way it all works out. We're not saying it's a subscriber-based podcast or anything like that. It's just that, like, you know, if people are wanting us to cover more and more shows, and like, the, you know, truth be told, it's just not financially possible for us, because we also have to get work.
So for now, then, I mean, for this coming week, so we've got Real Housewives of OC, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Game of Crowns,
Melbourne.
Oh, Real Housewives of Melbourne. Okay, so we have one more.
Below Deck, I think.
Oh, wait, we said we were going to do four, right? Did we say four or five? I forget
what we said.
I think I said four, but come on.
You know what? Everyone just weigh in on facebook.com/watchmorecrappings.
Yeah, what else? So we're going to naturally cover those shows. So what do you want in addition to that? Do you want Below Deck, Jersey Bell, or Singles Project? And we'll try whatever one you guys want. You guys vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works, right?
Yeah.
Democracy!
Exactly.
Okay, cool. And then we'll let you know a little bit more next week what we're doing with that other stuff. We're not sure yet. We're just dipping our toes in.
Yeah, maybe a few weeks down the line. It's, you know, but we'll keep everyone up to date and be totally transparent about it. We're not trying to be shifty or anything. So.
Yeah, and I'll be better this week about sitting down and taking notes about the shows. Cool. This was like an incredibly depressing week. That Robin Williams thing really made me sad.
I know. It's terrible. Very terrible. Jesus. Lauren McCall. Everything. But yeah, Robin Williams, it was a big shame. Maybe we should dedicate this podcast to him because he was so funny.
Let's spend the next 20 minutes talking about how Robin Williams makes us feel.
I know. Oh, and by the way, well, by the time we get up, we start doing the funding, Big Brother will probably be over. But if Big Brother still happening, we'll probably talk about Big Brother too.
Well, and then there's Survivor so and all Survivor of that stuff. There's other stuff we watch other than Bravo, believe it or not. One thing, though, before we get off, I wanted to ask you about Top Chef Duels. Have you watched?
I haven't. Have you?
No, but someone on our Facebook said it's thirsty.
Yeah, it sounds thirsty. I mean, I don't get the point of it. Like, I just don't. Like, and we're oversaturated with these sort of shows, like duel shows. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I think I think they are smart at keeping Top Chef just to one season a year, though.
I think they should bring back Masters and bring back Just Desserts, and then we're set. I don't think we don't need Masters.
I did love Desserts, though. Oh my gosh!
I loved it. Remember when we were on Desserts?
Yeah,
that was fun.
I would like to go again one day where they don't make us eat nasty things.
I know. Ronnie and I were extras on Top Chef Just Desserts, and of course, we were the day that they made crazy desserts out of like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, they're like, here's a baked beans falafel pie. Ugh.
And one of the Beastie Boys was there, but I love Just Desserts. I think they just had a bad second season because they cast too many straight guys. They needed to be gayer.
I love the second season too. I loved both of them. Wait, were there three?
There were two. And I think honestly, I like Top Chef Masters. I think it's like a pleasant cooking competition.
Oh, that's boring. You
know? I hate, like, I don't know what I hate. I hate, like, Life After Top Chef. I don't like revisiting the Top Chef people once they're gone.
Oh, yeah, they need to stay gone.
If it's an all-star season, that's fine. But once they're gone, I don't care about their lives necessarily.
Yeah, me neither. They're like, I did a Doritos commercial. Wow, that's super riveting television.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So that finishes us up today. So you guys go on facebook.com/watchwithcrappens and tell us what you want us to cover next week, and we'll do it. Okay. Yeah. You can find Ben at bsideblog.com or at bsideblog on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Pinterest, and Facebook. You can find me, Ronnie Karam, at Ronnie Karam on Twitter, at Ronnie Karam on Instagram. My website is trashtalktv.com with a lot of funny recaps. And come watch my Big Brother in 2 minutes videos every Friday on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/trashtalktee. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.